This is the Heart of LAFC Podcast, Episode 7.
Coming to you directly from sunny Southern California, you are listening to the Heart of LAFC Podcast. And now, here is your host, Jerry Jimenez.
What is up? Welcome to the Heart of LAFC Podcast. My name is Jerry Jimenez, your host, your friend, your insider into the Los Angeles Football Club. Thank you for joining me for our seventh episode of the Heart of LAFC. This is your show. What that means is that you have the power to control what we talk about. Please follow our social media such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and also feel free to drop us a line over at www.heartoflafc.com. Let us know what you want to hear. Who do you want to hear from? What should we talk about? We want to make sure you're getting everything you want out of this show and more. Today, we have a super awesome and informative guest. She is the managing editor of Angels on Parade, contributing editor at MLSsoccer.com, MLS League Manager for SB Nation, and Soccer Nation contributor. She keeps busy. Let's get right into it and talk USL, OC Blues, and LAFC with none other than Alicia Rodriguez. All right, Alicia, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So, man, we have so much to talk about. We have to start, obviously, with the USL and the OC Blues and LAFC announcement. A lot of people out there may not be too familiar with the USL. I'm including myself in this. Obviously, I will be a bandwagoner, as many of you are going to, because we want to follow the players that may possibly make their way in and out, obviously, with the pipeline for LAFC and the OC Blues. So really quickly, to give everybody a background on the USL, the start, their inaugural season was in 2011, so they've been around for about 5 years in the, I guess you can call it, pyramid of the U.S. soccer. I'm not really sure if that's correct, but it would be basically MLS, then it would be NASL, and then it would be the USL. And so that would make it third division. I guess I consider it third division. Is that correct?
Well, that might be changing, actually. So MLS is definitely Division One right now, and I don't think that there's going to be any plans to change that anytime soon. But there have been some issues with the NASL as far as some instability of some of their clubs. Some of the teams are moving to MLS. Some of the teams are moving to USL. So it's been a very rocky offseason for that league. At the same time, USL has applied for Division II sanctioning. This is something they did a year or two ago. So this has been in the works for quite some time. And in the process, they've been raising their standards, because there are certain standards that the U.S. Soccer Federation requires in accordance with your level in the pyramid. So USL has been raising those standards lately. And then as a result, things seem to be coming together kind of all at once. And it seems like within the next week or two, we will probably find out, anything can happen, but we'll probably find out that USL will actually become the Division II league. And it seems like there's a very good chance that the NASL will not survive. And, you know, that's a shame, because anytime that there's going to be teams lost in the pyramid, that's a big deal. And, you know, losing an entire league is a really big deal. The good news is many of those teams are going to survive, it looks like. So they're going to move on to new homes. And USL is changing very, very rapidly. So they may be Division II as soon as next year.
Awesome. That's cool. I mean, it's terrible. Obviously, you know, that's the second time in ASL.
Yeah.
It goes under. And so it's never fun. I mean, I already heard that, for example, the Tampa Bay Rowdies have already started their quest for MLS. So there's other teams like that as well as possible moves to the USL from the NASL. So there's always that possibility. It's, You know, that in itself can be its own podcast, but that is not what we're here for. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the OC Blues. So the OC Blues themselves, I know they're going through quite a few changes, not just with the partnership of LAFC, but the ownership. Can you kind of just catch us up with what has happened with the Blues as of late?
So just to take it back for a second, the OC Blues were actually the first USL team on the West Coast. So their establishment was pretty important, I think, for the growth of the league and making it a truly national league and, you know, expanding all the way out to the Pacific time zone. So that's a really big deal. But in the short term, what's happened is that this fall, the team got a new owner in James Keston, who is a local businessman. He's got ties to the area. He's built his business here in Southern California. He's committed to keeping the team in Orange County, which is, you know, really cool. You never know with new owners what they want to do with their clubs. But he's committed to keeping the team in Orange County. They're looking for a new home. I think that there are potentially plans to build a new home for the club, which is also pretty exciting. And then, yeah, they're putting a lot of investment into the future, building out their staff, this partnership with LAFC, rebranding the club. So there's a lot going on right now. And I think the next several months are going to be really, really exciting for this organization.
And so as far as the stadium itself, they've played where exactly? Anteater Stadium, I believe?
Yeah, so it's Anteater Stadium on the campus of UC Irvine where UC Irvine soccer teams play. But that's going to be changing. They haven't officially announced it yet, but all indications are that they will be playing elsewhere next year, in part because of those raised standards that I mentioned earlier. They have to go to a stadium that has I think at least 5,000 seating capacity, and Anteater Stadium has nowhere near that. So,
like 2,500 actually.
Yeah, and it's pretty Spartan as far as the you know, it's a traditional, you know, basic college stadium. So there's really no seating. It's just concrete, you know, quote unquote bleachers and that kind of thing. And you know, it did a good job kind of housing the team for several years. Don't get me wrong, but I think to really, you know, give someone a prime experience as far as viewing the best of USL, I think an upgrade was necessary.
Yeah, and so hopefully they're going to be building their own stadium. But, you know, right now the biggest news is going to be where their location is going to be for 2017. So it will no longer be at Anteater Stadium. You know, have you heard anything at all as far as what when they're going to be building, if that were to happen? Just, I don't know, soon? Have they said anything?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like if they're going to build something, I mean, they're going to have it ready by March. And or, you know, if they go into the season a little bit, you know, April or May, I suppose. But so that might necessitate a temporary location elsewhere. But I'm not sure at this point. I think it's possible they may look to do, you know, there's some USL teams who have done pop-up stadiums. I know that sounds really silly, but like Bonnie Field in Sacramento, where, you know, the Republic have had a lot of success, that's a pop-up stadium. And, you know, if they were to go to MLS, they would build a new stadium that was, you know, in line with other MLS stadiums. But for USL purposes, pop-up stadiums seem to be something that could be worthwhile. And the Arizona team is also building a pop-up stadium. And that's something that can be done in a relatively short amount of time. So I don't know for sure if that's going to happen, but that seems like a pretty good chance that will be the near-term future for the team.
Awesome. And for the actual rebrand itself, I know that the name may change as well. So that hasn't really been discussed, but I believe you reported all that there was a couple of different names that were trademarked, maybe to throw us off. I'm sure they already have a name in mind, but what were those names exactly?
Well, I think actually it's going to be pretty similar to LAFC, because there have been four names trademarked: Orange County FC, well, Orange County Football Club, Orange County Football Club, Football Club of Orange County or Football Club of Orange County, you know, English and Spanish variations.
Okay. So the Blues would basically would be dropped.
Yeah, and the Blues, that was a name that was connected to the old owner, his favorite team. He's originally from Iran. His favorite team was Esteghlal, which I think means the Blues in Farsi. So there was like sort of that personal connection to it, which is kind of cool. But obviously with a new owner, he may want to put his own stamp on the team and may want to change it. And by all accounts, he is going to change it. So yeah, there's four options. They're pretty similar. So I think you get a good sense of what, you know, along the lines of what it's going to be. We just don't know exactly which one it's going to be at this point. But they've said that they are going to be in consultation with fans, on the name change. So I think it's going to be pretty similar to LAFC where, you know, even though LAFC ended up, settling on the original name and going with LAFC, they did talk to fans. They did, you know, polls and, you know, wrote letters asking for feedback and things like that. Maybe not necessarily, you know, a name the team contest, but still got some input from fans before they made their final decision. And from all accounts, it looks like that's going to be pretty similar for the Blues as well.
Yeah, so since I read that, I have actually been calling them just OCFC because I'm pretty sure, especially with LAFC, OCFC, it makes sense. I love the name, the Blues. The Blues never really didn't make sense to me. Now as Orange County Football Club or Football Club, you know, I'm sure it's a lot more attractive, I think personally. I know some people may think it's boring, and I've heard that all over the place. I'm sure you've heard that as well. But, you know, yeah, it's definitely awesome. And it's good to start thinking about if they are going to rebrand. Obviously, they may not keep the logo, and so the logo would go, and the colors may change. There's been a lot of talks of whether or not they're going to choose to use or incorporate the LAFC colors, so the black and the gold, or maybe just the black. You know, I would love to see like a black and orange for Orange County.
Sure.
But I guess we will see. Hopefully we'll get some news soon on that. And so moving on to the actual partnership with LAFC, I was not aware of this, I will admit it. So kind of catch us up on what exactly is the MLS-USL partnership that was enacted in 2013?
Yeah, so yeah, it, like you said, in 2013, the team, the leagues got together and made a formal partnership. And the requirement of that partnership is that every MLS team needs to either have an affiliation with an independent USL team, or they need to create their own USL team. So, for example, the LA Galaxy have their own USL team called LA Galaxy 2. But at the same time, the San Jose Earthquakes, their affiliate was Sacramento Republic. So teams can go either way. They can choose whatever arrangement seems to work best for them. Some teams like to have the control of running their own team. Some teams don't want to have the financial responsibility of having to have their own team. So it's a relationship that's sort of flexible, I suppose. Part of the affiliation agreement is that several players from the MLS roster need to be loaned down to the USL team throughout the season. And this is also pretty flexible. So in some cases, you know, a player will go down for a game, may train with his MLS team throughout the week, but go down for the game with the USL team on the weekend. In other cases, players may be loaned down for weeks, months, even the whole season. So it's really kind of a whatever fits your situation best approach. But the requirement is there does need to be a relationship, something formalized and something that is being utilized between the MLS team and the USL team.
And so I know a lot of people are saying that this is obviously something that should have happened a long, long time ago. As far as a time frame for LAFC's, what they're expected to do before 2018, how do you feel about that as far as timing goes? I mean, obviously, it says that they should be ready to go pretty much by 2017 as far as the Blues themselves go, right? So how does that affect LAFC? How does it benefit LAFC in 2017 specifically?
Yeah, so Orange County will definitely be playing in 2017. That's not an issue whatsoever. They're going to continue playing, and they'll be around. Most of their roster will be made up of USL players, their own players. But LAFC has the option of signing players or possibly more informally recommending players that OC signs and, you know, seeing what they can do in competitive action for a while. If LAFC ends up signing, two or three, four players to their roster, their MLS roster, what they can do is then loan those players to Orange County and have them play competitive games in the meantime before MLS gets going. This is something that we saw this year with Atlanta United. They did this exact thing. So Atlanta United is an expansion team that's coming into MLS next year. This year they started signing players, and a handful of those players they signed and then sent to their USL affiliate, which happens to be in Charleston. And then those players, got some game action. And basically it's a chance to give young players, prospects, an opportunity to play and see what they can do in, real live games. And it's also an opportunity to see potential players for the MLS roster and kind of, weigh them out, see if they're really going to be able to hack it. Obviously, the standard of play in USL is not at the same level as MLS, but seeing those players in an environment in North American soccer, playing week in and week out, having an opportunity to play, does give them a kind of a gauge of what their level will be like, come MLS. So I expect something very similar to happen with LAFC in Orange County.
So I think what you're kind of hinting at is what Atlanta did with Andrew Carlton and sending him to their Charleston Battery, right, to their USL team.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so it's awesome, to get to see that. And so now LAFC can hopefully start getting some players and maybe send them to play with USL, some younger players, and having them there with the Blues during their 2017 season. And, so it's a back-and-forth thing. How does it benefit the Blues, the partnership itself? How does it benefit the Blues?
Well, ideally, on the field, you would hope that the players that LAFC are loaning out are going to be of a quality that will be able to help Orange County win games, of course. But I think a lot of the benefit for them is going to be off the field. I think this partnership, I would expect, will drive fan interest in the team. Maybe not to a overwhelming degree, but I think a certain segment of hardcore soccer fans, who are planning to follow LAFC will now become interested in Orange County and sort of see what they're up to. And that should help as far as attendance and, just getting the word out about the team, because I think one of the challenges that the Blues have had over the years is that they may be in Orange County, but they're still in a very, very busy general Southern California market. And, there's now one MLS team. There was two MLS teams. There will soon be two MLS teams again in the area. So much to do, great weather, entertainment, all kinds of options. Means that even though the Blues have been around for a while, they're still looking to really get a foothold in the local market. And I think having a partnership like this will help get their name out there and help give them an opportunity to build and really become a steady presence in the community and build that fan base.
Yeah, and also I've heard that it's a way for LAFC to surround the Carson Galaxy on both sides. So, it's definitely a good thing for both teams. In your own perspective, how do you see the difference between having a partnership versus a LAFC 2? Which is better in your point of view and why?
I wouldn't really necessarily say that I have an opinion about which one is better, mostly because the arrangement itself is still pretty new. The oldest MLS2 team is only 3 seasons old. So it's not something that's really been going on for a long time. And we're still, I think, trying to figure out what works the best. And again, it's a flexible approach. Some teams are going to, you know, want to have that control, day-to-day control over their own reserve team. And other teams don't want that. And they want to just be able to send players off and, you know, kind of leave the management of the USL team to somebody else. So I think it's still up in the air for sure. But I do think that as far as getting a foot in the door, getting started on this process, I think an affiliation is a really great way for LAFC to get started in evaluating talent and trying to build a roster. You know, obviously, I hope people understand that when it comes to sending players potentially on loan to Orange County for 2017, we're not talking about like Chicharito, right? Like he's not going to be going and playing in USL this year.
How cool would that be?
It would be something. It would really be something. It's not going to happen. It's going to be guys you haven't heard of. It's going to be, you know, young kids from the area. It's going to be journeymen who they want to take a look at and see if this guy's going to be good squad depth. But at the same time, that's still an important function. You know, one of the big issues for MLS expansion teams is they're usually not very good. There's only been one playoff team amongst all of the expansion teams in the last decade or decade plus. So it's tough to hit the ground running. And that's especially true if you're a brand new team that has no kind of prior history like LAFC. So having this step, having an affiliation, getting started with that, I think is a really good step. And then, you know, let's say in 2 or 3 years time, the club, the MLS club can kind of look and see, all right, is this something we want to continue with? Or are we ready to launch our own reserve team? You know, they may find that the partnership with Orange County is working out great and they don't need to do that. Or they may find that they want to kind of ramp up the reserve team aspect and turn to, you know, creating their own MLS 2 team. And so they have options for the future. And I think that's also a good sign. But yeah, this is a really good first step, I think.
Absolutely. And so something that I've heard too was that, I mean, on top of everything that John Thornton has on his plate right now with having to, you know, deal with the soccer side of LAFC and actually building the team and what is going to be the on-field product, he's also helping and having a hand in, I don't know to what extent exactly, but I have heard that he is involved with the rebrand of the OC Blues as well as many people from the LAFC front office that are helping out in that and making sure that, you know, the rebrand will be successful. And obviously, I mean, it benefits LAFC 100%. So it makes perfect sense to me. And talking about benefits, you know, the past, I guess you can say, supporters of Orange County, there's a lot of mixed different opinions on it. We'll go into that a little bit, but what are the benefits right now for the founding members of this rebrand that is going to be, you know, the OC Blues?
You mean as far as the founding membership program?
Yeah, I heard it's kind of similar to what the LAFC Originals is, correct?
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty much right along the same line. So the Blues announced this week alongside the well, they didn't really announce; they just kind of revealed it alongside the partnership with LAFC that they were doing a founding membership program, and it sounds pretty much the same as the LAFC Originals. You put down a $25 season ticket deposit in the case of the Blues, and you can get some cool swag. You'll get priority as far as seating is concerned, and, you know, make sure that you're taken care of when the new home of the Blues is found and announced and revealed, which I think is a good idea. You know, I think obviously it's something that has been pretty successful for LAFC insofar as they've had an opportunity to get people engaged and signed up for something in some capacity. Obviously, the big challenge moving forward is going to be converting all of those season ticket deposits into actual season tickets bought. And the same is true for the Blues. But this is a way to sort of get people engaged before all of these changes take place and, you know, before everything has been rolled out. So I think it's a pretty smart move. And obviously, since they've been working with LAFC, it makes a lot of sense that they would do something like this. And hopefully it's something that, you know, as far as marketing is concerned, is a good first step and pays off as far as bringing in fans.
Well, and obviously as well, the price point is a big deal, and it's going to be much, much lower than what an MLS team would charge, obviously, going to watch USL games. And so I believe it was a $25 deposit, and it actually holds up to four tickets is what it is for future if you wanted to use it on four separate tickets, the deposit itself, and then you get some nice cool stuff. So that's one that I'm going to be convincing my wife this holiday season about. Hopefully we'll see how that goes. As it is, she thinks I do too much, and driving, as you know, Alicia, you know, driving from San Diego, luckily you moved up there, so you're closer now to the action than I am. But
a little bit, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I will say that I think the price point is pretty important. I think if you're somebody who, you know, you want to see local soccer that's of a pretty decent quality, but you're not sure if you're going to be able to afford season tickets in MLS, or, you know, if you're going to be able to be priced out, I do think that USL is a really good value. Obviously, we'll have to see exactly what the prices are going to be like for the Blues this coming season. But I think it's safe to say that it's an affordable option. And so if you have a family, if you have, you know, a bunch of people that you need to sort of keep occupied for a couple hours with a little outing, I think you could do a lot worse than going to a USL game. So I would definitely recommend, if you're sort of interested in checking out kind of the scene and sort of what it's like to watch it in person. It's very intimate. The players, you know, are very approachable after games, and they sign autographs for kids and everything. And very, you know, really informal. I mean, I think it's kind of sub MLS informal, even at MLS's most informal days. So if that's something that you want to be part of the action, you want to be close to kind of what's happening, I think it's definitely a scene that you can get into and really enjoy.
That's great. And I will be the first to admit that, you know, obviously I had looked into USL, and just from reading your reports as well, I kind of kept up a little bit with the Blues, but I haven't been very involved. And I do have a friend, shout out to Joe, who has been a part of the, what was the county?
County Line Coalition.
County Line Coalition. And that's the supporter group for the OC Blues that has been around for a while. And just in talking to him, he's, you know, he's very excited about the change. Obviously, he's an LAFC fan as well. Unfortunately, there is some out there that are from OC, but actually follow Carson. And so for them, it's been kind of like, I don't know how to feel about this. And so it's going to be definitely very interesting to see the crowd that the Blues will draw now, and see that, you know, there's definitely going to be obviously some fans of the Galaxy, some fans of the LAFC. And I'm sure at the end of the day, we will all be there rooting for the Blues or OCFC or whatever they end up being. But it's exciting. Either way, I know that it's definitely going to be beneficial for the growth of that USL team in general, and it's going to be super beneficial for LAFC as well. And we're just all, as LAFC fans, very, very excited to have something to look forward to, other than obviously all the news that they're going to release, but actual soccer, watching a team play on the field in 2017.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it too, believe me.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You positioned yourself so perfectly. Was that something that you were like, I'm just going to start following the Blues? How did that come to be? Because in Angels on Parade, for those that aren't aware, and I'll make sure to link angelsonparade.com and link that in the show notes. But Alicia does cover both LAFC and the Blues and all of their news. So how did that come to be exactly? How did that work out for you?
Yeah, it was just kind of coincidence. I found myself in 2015 needing something local, you know, soccer games to cover, and the Blues were around. I mean, I obviously kept an eye on what was happening with the Blues, you know, prior to that, but I knew that I wanted to step up local coverage anyway, and you know, get more into USL, and I definitely needed some kind of day-to-day stuff as far as what was happening locally, and so really jumped in as far as the Blues coverage, and we've been covering them very heavily for the last 2 years. There's a couple guys who help out. Jake Schwartz and Kyle Kepner have helped out on some of the coverage too. And yeah, we've been following kind of the, you know, everything that's been happening with that team. And so yeah, it the fact that the LAFC Orange County partnership came together, from my perspective, was a wonderful coincidence, but a coincidence nonetheless, as you know, as far as my kind of coverage plan was concerned.
So no fortune teller was involved in this or anything like that?
No, I can't say there was.
Awesome. All right. So let's really quickly, before we let you go, let's talk about LAFC's future and, you know, players, coach. That is all coming up really soon. We're hoping. They just poured the first round of cement at Banc of California Stadium. So definitely looking forward to that. But let's start with coach. What is your prediction? Let's, if you have a few, we'll go with a few names maybe, but who are you maybe hoping to see? Who do you think is more of a possibility for LAFC, you know, to have as a coach?
You know, I'll be perfectly honest. I honestly don't know, you know, because I just don't know if the team is going to go for somebody who has MLS experience or if they're going to go for somebody who has no MLS, you know, prior MLS ties. And so it's hard to tell. I mean, if they're going to go for somebody within MLS, yeah, I think there's definitely candidates out there. First and foremost, Siggy Schmidt. He's out of work. He seems very hungry to keep coaching, and he says he's interested in coaching the team. And he has local ties, of course. There is the prospect of Bob Bradley, should his appointment with Swansea City not last, you know, into 2018, which seems like it's possible at this point, unfortunately. And, you know, I think Bradley is really intriguing. I think of the two, I would probably be pretty excited about Bradley if he would want to come here, of course. I mean, if he doesn't, then there's nothing you can do about that. But, you know, he's someone who's interesting. Dave Saracen, who just left the LA Galaxy, says he wants to, you know, he's interested in the job, which is pretty interesting, but it all depends on what LAFC wants. Do they want somebody who has a lot of MLS experience, but who has a lot of experience recently with the Galaxy? You know, that kind of says something about the, you know, kind of puts a marker down about what they're interested in and what their priorities are. Do they want somebody from abroad? I mean, that's obviously a possibility. And if that's the case, then there are thousands of candidates, and it would be, you know, really, really difficult for me to predict somebody. I mean, I don't think anybody would have predicted that Atlanta United would have gone with Tata Martino 6 weeks before he had been hired. So you just never know. And I know that's not a very good answer, but I have a hard time kind of reading the tea leaves on this because I'm not really sure what direction they're going to go in. And as far as timing, it's all dependent on whether or not the person that they want to hire has a job at the moment. If he does, they're going to have to wait until they can get him out of his contract. So that may, if it's somebody who doesn't have a contract, they can hire him, you know, next week. If it's somebody that does have a contract, they may have to wait until January of 2018 to officially put pen to paper. So we'll have to see on that front how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that's, you know, very interesting about some of these names that you just threw out was also the fact that we have to think about LA Galaxy and their search for a coach now that, you know, Bruce Arena is gone. It sounds to me, just from Kevin Baxter from the LA Times and Grant Wall from Sports Illustrated, they've both been heavily reporting that Kurt Onofo is going to be their upcoming coach. However, if you listen to Chris Klein, he's always talking about how, you know, they've also talked to Siggy Schmidt. They and they're not considering Dave Saracen. So there's that. I don't understand why. Everything that I've ever heard of Dave Saracen has been nothing but positive. So I don't know what happened there. But, you know, with Siggy Schmidt, that's an interesting one as well. Bob Bradley, I think, would be my favorite out of all the ones that you named. Obviously, it's does he want to come? And, you know, Swansea hasn't been doing all that great. I think he inherited just a train wreck. And so it's been kind of difficult for him over there. But, yeah, it's so fun to think about all of these different options. And like you said, you know, I think Atlanta with Tata Martino and with just their recent signings, their number 10 they just got. I mean, it's now a way of comparison. You know, Atlanta United is now that, like, that think they're that LAFC fans in general and also reporters are going to use as a comparison of what we should be doing, because they're, I mean, I don't think they've done anything incorrectly as of right now. They've just been killing it as of late. And so I'm excited to see what happens. Now, talking about the number 10 and talking about, I believe his name is Almiron. But what do you see coming to LAFC? Because obviously there's going to be a huge signing coming up. What are maybe 2-3 names that haven't already been named that you think you would like to see with LAFC?
Oh man, I feel like I'm going to give you terrible answers here. I'm one of those people. I'm a neutral in kind of global soccer, you know, as far as like European leagues and South American leagues. I don't follow any other team, so I don't really have like, you know, players that I'm holding on to. I think I really would like to see Cristiano Ronaldo come. I think he'd be perfect for LA and for helping launch a team. But I think with his new contract that he signed recently, I think that's going to put him out of reach, and sounds like he wants to stay in Spain for, you know, 5 or 6 more years. So that's unfortunate, because I think he would be perfect. I think he would be kind of the only player that I was really pining for as far as, you know, wanting to see him come. And I know that that's a long shot, but I think it was something that was actually feasible potentially. But you know, beyond that, I really like Chicharito, and I would love for him to come too. But as far as other, you know, international players, I mean, I think the sky's the limit. I do not expect Messi to come to MLS at any point in his career. I think he's somebody who is not, doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who really wants to be part of the MLS deal and, you know, really jump in. I think if he ever leaves Barcelona, he'll probably just go back home to Argentina and play for his boyhood club. But I think beyond him, you know, the sky's the limit. Pretty much, you know, any player who may be, you know, wanting an exit or wanting to come to the United States and, you know, seems to be playing pretty well, I think we're going to see a lot of names linked to LAFC, not only over the next year, but for years to come. And the good news about that is that means that that would mean that LAFC is a destination and a team that, you know, big name players want to go to. And so, you know, that's what you want. You don't want to be a team that never gets any juicy transfer rumors, no matter how crazy they might sound. You want to have that. You want to be in the action. And if LAFC can be one of that handful of teams in MLS that is in that, you know, hot stove fodder, that is probably a good sign for the team overall.
Absolutely. And it also means that we will have a lot of work to do, both you and I. I'm excited. I'm so happy that you gave us some time out of your day. I know it's been crazy, especially we both have been sick this week. One more time, Alicia, thank you so much for giving us time out of your day. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you really soon with some awesome, awesome news for both the Blues and LAFC.
Yeah, that sounds great. I look forward to news, all of the news. Give me more news, of course. But thanks, thanks for very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That is going to do it for episode 7, guys. Thank you so much for hanging in there. That was an awesome one, right? Thank you so much again to Alicia for coming on and giving us some of her time. I know she is a very, very, very busy gal, so thank you. I am super, super thankful for you. Also, a quick shout out to all Seattle Sounder fans out there. I'm sure you're not listening, so shout out to you. Congratulations on winning the MLS Cup. But we are coming for it in 2018, starting in 2018. And from then on, everybody's going to lose, and we're just going to win every single year, and everybody's going to hate us, and it's going to be awesome. No, but seriously, guys, thank you so much for joining me one more time. I will see you guys on the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. I am Jerry Jimenez, signing off, and stay golden.